For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word this evening. This is a prophetic announcement of the coming Messiah, and at least part of it should sound familiar to you. We sang it just moments ago. It forms a substantial part of verse 3 in the Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you recall, we sang it just a moment ago. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That's the middle part of this prophetic announcement. Now, of course, that Christmas hymn focuses only on the joyous aspect of that proclamation, the part that focuses on the promise of salvation for God's people. But this glorious promise is framed within a declaration of how God will treat the wicked. I mean, that's actually how the prophetic announcement begins and how it ends. And so in this passage, the Lord is contrasting the differing effects of the Messiah's coming on the godly and on the ungodly. The same advent has opposite outcomes for the rebellious and for the righteous. In other words, Christ's coming has different ramifications for those who defy him than for those who fear him. One is devastating and the other is glorious. Now, if this seems strange to us, it reminds us that all too often we have a one-dimensional view of Christmas. We fail to grasp the big picture here. You see, the coming of the Messiah is the event of all the ages. That precious little babe that was laid in the manger was not only the Savior of the world, but the judge of all the earth. He came not only to comfort his people, but to execute justice against the wicked. And that seemingly helpless little newborn cuddled in his mother's arms was in reality the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. He was actually holding together the molecular structure of the mother who was holding him in her arms. The babe in swaddling clothes was the Almighty God, draped in a tent of humanity. And his coming would change everything. Everything. Nothing would ever be the same. His coming would not just save his people, but it's going to set everything right once again. All things will be made new. Prophetic passages like this help remind us of the comprehensive nature of his advent, lest we focus on one aspect or another. Now, in this passage from Malachi, the Messiah's coming is portrayed as the rising sun, S-U-N. Just as the morning dispels the cold darkness of night, Christ's coming brings light and life to a world shrouded in the bitter darkness of sin. He is the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, meaning he is the source of godliness. And he rises, the text says, with healing in his wings. Now, these wings aren't the wings of a bird or an angel. That's the wrong imagery. The wings of the sun are the rays that stream forth to the earth, the beams of radiant energy that bathe the world in warmth and in light. That's the picture here in Malachi. And there is healing in those wings, in those rays, in those beams, at least for those who fear the Lord. You know, we have to remember that verse 1 talks about the heat of destruction. And so for the ungodly, that day of his coming will scorch them, burn them to a cinder. They'll be withered, root and branch, says the scripture, reduced to ashes. But for those who fear the Lord, that day will be like a welcome dawn after a bitterly cold and dark night. The rays of the sun bring light and life, warming the bones of God's people and rejuvenating their vitality. What a fitting metaphor for the coming of the Lord, the rising sun. I mean, after all, the sun that brings life to the earth can also bring death. I mean, everybody knows that the sun is essential to our survival, but it really is a delicate balance. The sun warms the earth, but if it's too intense, it scorches. This past summer rivaled the summer of 1980, and with that record heat, a lot of the shrubs around the church were killed off. In fact, all of the ones that were newly planted were burned up. Not a one survived. And despite our efforts, our best efforts, those with shallow roots simply couldn't survive. We watered them religiously. We tried to shield them from the sun during the afternoon. But they just couldn't endure the blazing heat of the sun. The only ones that did survive had deep roots. That tells you something about the nature of those that receive the sunlight. The same sun then that causes plants to thrive can destroy them as well. And it's true of other living things too. You know, a lot of animals love to bask in the warmth of the sun. But the rays of the sun are deadly to a snail, especially without the protection of its shell, right? So again, the same sun that brings life to some brings death to others. It depends on who or what is exposed to that sun. You know, as the old saying goes, the sun that hardens clay also melts wax. Same sun, opposite effects. So the energy of the sun is the same, but there are different outcomes for the various recipients of that solar power. Well, that's the picture here in Malachi. The Messiah is portrayed as the Son of Righteousness, meaning he is holy. And that holiness emanates from his person, just as light and warmth emanate from the sun. So like the heat of the sun, which bears down upon the earth, the Messiah brings the holiness of God to bear upon this world. No one can escape it. It's the same for all. And so that holiness becomes the source both of life and for judgment and death. God's holiness exposes man's iniquity. It shines a light, an exposing and purging light on his depravity. And thus the wicked in this passage are portrayed as plants who are singed by his holiness. They cannot endure the glory and the purity of his nature. And so they're set ablaze by that heat from root to branch, says the scripture. And finally, they're reduced to stubble. But for those who fear the Lord, that holiness brings light and warmth, the light and warmth of life. His righteousness doesn't destroy them. It renews them. It brings a healing to the soul. It brings peace with God. It brings a renewal of relationship with our holy and righteous Creator. It brings redemption. And so Christ's coming means that in the end, the godly will flourish, but the wicked will perish. They'll be reduced to ashes beneath the feet of God's people. That's how the picture here in Malachi gives it. And also notice then how the Lord describes the effects of the rising sun on those that fear him. I really find this fascinating. It's a beautiful image. He says that they go out leaping like calves from the stall. Now, let me paint the picture for you here if I can. Imagine a stall filled with young animals, calves. And they've been penned up during a long, chilly, dark night. And so their joints are stiff and their metabolism's slow. They're weak and they're cold. Oh, but then breaks the dawn, and the sun rises, and as it begins to shine brightly over the fields, the calves are released from their stall, and as they venture out into their newfound freedom, they soak up the rays of the sun, and the warmth drives away the pain of the cold. Their strength suddenly returns to them, and they begin to feel good. And this renewal, they began to have fun. They run, they frolic, they play, they leap. That's the picture here. Once the sun reaches them and they're revitalized, they're new again. They're born anew from a cold and dark night into the warmth of the sun. Well, this is what God promises for his people in the coming of the Messiah. Jesus is our Son of Righteousness. He is the S-O-N, but also our S-U-N. He is the source of holiness, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, communicated to us, those of us who don't deserve it, those of us who could not have earned it, given graciously and freely, given to us by the Son of Righteousness. As Peter put it, Christ is that morning star, the sun that rises in the morning, and he rises, Peter says, in our hearts. Now, it's true that we await the final fulfillment of this promise. It's not yet. But the glorious healing of his advent has already begun. It was set in motion when the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And what he began then at his first coming, he will surely consummate at his second coming. But even now, as we remember the birth of our Savior, we enjoy the beams of light and life that flow from Christ, the one whom Hebrews calls the radiance of the Father's glory, the express image of his person, the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. And this is the one whose birth we remember tonight. When the babe was laid in the manger, think of this. A new day was dawning. The Sun of Righteousness was rising. We were being released from the cold, dark prison of this world. And the Sun of Righteousness rising brings us light and life with healing in his wings, with healing in his beams, with healing in his rays of life. He brings that to us even as he brings judgment against the wicked of this world. This is the promise of the coming Savior that we celebrate tonight. He has come. And he will come again. And all of this accomplished by his wondrous work. So may we learn to rightly rejoice in the redemption that our Savior brings. And this Christmas season, remember the wonders of his love, the glories of his person, the majesty of his sovereign reign. The Lord who rises in our hearts, bringing new life, new birth to all who are his. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is a privilege that we have been granted this night to gather as your people, to remember our Lord's first coming and to look forward to his coming again. In his advent, we have been given light and life, the warmth of the Sun of Righteousness, the vitality and the light he affords. May we honor you this Christmas season. May you and you alone be glorified. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.